You know, listen, we're going to live or die with James. We'll never complain whether he goes 10 for 10 or 0 for 30. You can't be happy with him being Superman every single day, and then one day when he becomes human, you start blaming him. You know what I'm saying? That's just not how it's supposed to go. You know, he's the biggest reason why we are where we are, and we're going to continue to trust him. And he came through when it mattered. In the fourth quarter, he hit big shots, hit free throws. And the bottom line is we have his back.
Austin Rivers, who chipped in 11 in a thrilling Rockets Game 3 win against the Jazz. They'll go for a four-game sweep of Utah later on tonight at 9:30. We'll talk more about the game time and tip-off coming up in the meltdown at 9:30. Paul, you are picking the Warriors in the next round after what happened this weekend.
Yeah,
why?
And this isn't a brain buster. I think a lot of people are going to fall the same way as me. But when you watch Game 3 and the way that it unfolded, even though James Harden kept attacking the basket and even though he was able to create for a surprising performance off of the bench for guys like Gerald Green, for Austin Rivers, when you see him play like that, do you really believe that against Golden State that the rest of the guys are consistently going to be able to pick up the pace? I think there's at least one more dud like this from James Harden just because he's had two duds of this kind of play the last two postseasons. So I think another one's probably coming just given his usage rate. No matter, you know, what you think about his creating abilities, which he's doing a lot of, the shooting nights are going to happen where he just isn't able to get it done. I will reserve my right to reevaluate the series after about three games. But right now, because I'm always going to have a bit of doubt about the possibility of a Harden dud night for pretty much the entirety of the series, I just don't trust the rest of the team to pick it up. And that includes Chris Paul.
But I guess the question is, okay, did you expect the Rockets to not lose a game to the Warriors?
But the Jazz?
No. I'm talking about, yeah, because, okay, James Harden has a bad night like this. Okay, yeah, so they'd lose that game to the Warriors, most likely. Not that they haven't competed. Like, Game 5, you pointed out that in Game 5 last year, Harden wasn't playing
well. Somehow they made it happen.
Yeah, and they you know, if Chris Paul stays healthy, that's a different game. So I think that, like, look, if there's anything we've seen from the Rockets the last couple years, yeah, they have the ability to go extremely cold, either as individuals or as a team in the playoffs. And you're going to lose that game. This specific game, because I don't expect you to sweep the Warriors if you beat the Warriors. It's going to be a 7-game series. But would that be the game? That's the one game that maybe the Warriors wouldn't have? Because the Warriors can have a game where they don't shoot well, too. It's less likely and it's less of a problem because you saw with Steph Curry. Like, Steph Curry didn't shoot well versus the Clippers yesterday. Didn't matter.
You know,
Steph Curry's
in
foul trouble. The game's not even close. But can you afford to just drop one game if James Harden goes cold? I don't look at this James Harden performance nearly the same way I do from other James Harden poor performances in the playoffs. Most specifically, the Spurs in 2017. Like, this was good quality basketball marred by bad shooting. But it was a kind of, remember in 2017 versus the Spurs when he melted down in Game 6, it wasn't just his poor shooting. It was his passing. It was losing his handle. It was doing all those things.
Turnovers.
That didn't make his teammates better. He was making his teammates better in this game. Plus, Chris Paul took advantage of it. Chris Paul showed up and helped control the game when James Harden couldn't. So I feel like there is a chance that the Rockets could win a game versus the Warriors when Harden is playing like this. It's a lot less probable, but there's a chance. Compared to 2 years ago, Harden would have fallen apart.
It happened last year, and they deserve credit for making it happen last year. But I don't trust the supporting cast to pick up the pace maybe the same way I would last year. I don't think Chris Paul is going to take over a game quite to the degree that he could in the past in these playoffs, especially against the Golden State team. And I don't know that I trust Daniel House going up against Golden State in a series like this for the first time.
It's a big test.
Austin Rivers finally back in a relevant role in a spot like this. Gerald Green, who's so damn inconsistent, and they always want to know what he tastes like on a given night. I think when Harden has nights like this, it's not going to work. And here's the other thing, too. And there's that big piece by Zach Lowe on ESPN talking about the way that the Jazz have been trying to defend James Harden and the way that the Bucks defended James Harden a little bit earlier this season. The Bucks did a really good job with it. The Jazz have not done a great job with it, and I thought it was very interesting that Ricky Rubio said after Game 2, quote, "Some players haven't been buying in 100% to Quinn Snyder's strategy for defending. You can bet your bottom dollar that the Golden State Warriors are going to 100% buy into whatever Steve Kerr draws up defensively to go up against James Harden, and they're going to execute it, I think, to flawless perfection. Here's why, because they have been bored all season long, and this is finally the test that they get."
Well, where I'm struggling is I don't disagree about picking the Warriors. Paul's picking the Warriors to win in the next round on a Monday, but James Harden would be like my third reason why or fourth reason. It would be down the list. Like my first reason is they've got home court. Big deal.
Yeah.
That's a massive deal, the fact that they're going to have home court. We're going to talk a lot about that, hopefully, towards the end of this week. That's a big deal.
Not as big and
the
deal second, as it used to be.
Oracle, but it's a big
Oracle
deal.
Crowd, kind of disappointing this year.
Winning a game Warriors seven.
Lost multiple double-digit losses to the Oracle
I get that.
Crowd.
I get that. But you win game seven on the road against Golden State, and that would be, and this is not a stretch, that would be one of the legendary wins in the history of professional basketball. That's how big of a win that would be against this team with the players they have on it. That's neither here nor there. So that's the first
one. Home court's one.
Home court's one. Number two, the Warriors have three guys who can carry them offensively in a playoff game. Durant, Steph, and Klay. The Rockets have like 1.5 or maybe 1.75. And that's also a big deal.
Yeah.
So
yeah, those Harden, are the givens.
Harden struggling in a game here or there. That's like for me down the list of why I'd be picking Golden
well,
State.
Well, the thing I would say though too, and this is the difference, where I'm midway through that game where I felt confident the Rockets were going to win game three.
I was not.
Midway through the second quarter. I honestly thought they were going to win by 10 to 15.
I felt because, it was a matter of time,
because
too.
They were staying within 2 to 4 points while just pretty much just playing their C game, and the Jazz were absolutely playing their A game. But that's neither here nor there. When I'm looking at Daniel House, when I'm looking at Austin Rivers, when I'm looking at Gerald Green and Kenneth Fareed and the influence they're having, and their presence being made versus a very good defensive team in Utah. Like, let's not pretend like Daniel House was scoring those points with his brilliant handle or his awesome ability to create for himself. All that's created by James Harden. Those guys are made better by James Harden's play. And when a team shuts down James Harden the way the Jazz did, they do it at the expense of giving other guys opportunities. That's where I'm not looking at those names and saying, wow, they can't do that versus Golden State, because they already have in the regular season. It's the regular season, it's crap, whatever, but they have done it versus the Warriors in the regular season. I'm feeling much more confident about the, almost to the point where I'll have them losing by 2 points in 7 games.
I like Golden State in 6, and I just think when it comes to James Harden, can you get superhuman performances out of him for an entire series? And I just don't think that's going to happen. And I feel like you're going to need it in at least like 2 to 3 games,
yeah, was,
if not 4.
I was thinking as you were talking, they need superhuman Harden for
how many
3 or 4
okay,
games.
How many superhuman performances did they get out of him in the Golden State series last year?
So last year, it's a good question. I'm gonna go back.
It wasn't that many.
And not like a whole lot.
If Chris Paul's healthy, there's a very good chance they win that series.
That's true. But
I agree.
Isn't this a different Chris Paul, Seth?
That's
I think
the
it
thing.
Is. It's a different Chris Paul.
I don't think it is. I think Chris Paul from the regular season physically, because you have to look at Chris Paul, look at his missed threes right now. That's not because he's lost a step or anything. That's just bad luck. Like, Chris Paul has performed better than his box score, and physically he looks different. I would say in a lot of respects, he looks as spry and athletic and bouncy and quick as he did in the playoffs last year. Chris Paul in the regular season this year did not look the same as last year. I think for now, as long as he stays healthy, I actually feel pretty good about Chris Paul.
We saw glimpses of what Paul has been in the past, I think right after the All-Star break, but I'm wondering, all right, now you got the grind of playing in the playoffs where, yeah, you maybe get like 2 days off in between games for the most part, but how is Chris Paul going to handle that? So it's very important that the Rockets take care of business tonight. I think they will. The Jazz stink. They're just irrelevant and meaningless.
I'm not quite as confident about Chris Paul as Seth is.
He only had 33 minutes in this game.
Yes, so that's good.
If they can take care of business in the fourth game, I think Chris Paul is going to be super fresh.
The minutes have been
Warriors.
Good. Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Monday. Hopefully they close things out tonight, as Paul mentioned. The Rockets and Jazz, they tip off tonight. It is game number 4. We'll have a full reaction tomorrow. Hopefully we're talking about a series sweep and the next series against the 2-time defending champion Golden State Warriors. Guys, I woke up to this. The most important football reporter in America, Peter King, Monday morning quarterback, the week of the NFL draft, and is this Thursday. We're all over it all week long. Thursday is the first round of the draft. Peter King has the Texans moving up in the draft to number 17 overall to select Andre Dillard, tackle, Washington State. And more interestingly, Peter wrote that Dillard is the top tackle on Houston's board from what he hears. That's Peter King. Meanwhile, Albert Breer, who I think is as close to Bill O'Brien from a national reporting standpoint as anybody, he had them taking Eric McCoy, the center/guard from up the road at Texas A&M. But the interesting thing is that Breer wrote, the Texans have done a ton of research on the offensive tackles, and he could also see them trading up to get in position to take one of the top three guys.
Oh, all right. Okay. I thought you were going to say they're going to move McCoy to tackle or something.
No, I don't think
so. Because I swear I was so scared you were going to say that. They're so in love with versatility. I thought you were going to say McCoy could play center, guard, or tackle.
So
they'd have him playing like extra tight end is rookie year.
So two big media guys are saying this morning the Texans would be willing to move up to draft an offensive tackle.
Okay, there's one thing that I know, and it's Drew Doherty does this composite draft thing every year on HoustonTexans.com where he looks at the different mock drafts and who they're taking. That thing is pretty accurate at telling you which position the Texans are going to take. It's almost like almost every single year, the mock drafts get it right in terms of which position teams are going to take. Almost everybody has the Texans taking an offensive tackle. In these mock drafts, a lot of times it's Andre Dillard, and it just doesn't seem like he would fall that far, except that there's so many good defensive linemen in this draft that maybe the team needs and everything. It just kind of works out that Dillard falls that far. If he falls to mid-round, though, and if that's who the Texans genuinely like, I've grudgingly accepted that I'm willing to trade up for that offensive tackle. And it would be, there's three offensive tackles that I'd be okay trading up for. It'd be Juwan Taylor, it'd be Jonah Williams from Alabama, or it would be Dillard from Washington State. Those are like the top three bona fide, hey, you're a guy that's worth taking in the top 15 or 20 picks.
And Seth, you would power rank them Williams, Dillard, and Taylor.
Ah,
you got to power rank them.
I would, only based on personal preference, if I were a scout, I wouldn't do this because, like, I wouldn't be able to back it up with measurables. I like Jonah Williams the most. I feel best about Jonah Williams. I think the upside on the other two guys is a lot higher because they're more physically freakish. Jonah Williams has short arms, and he's not as fast or explosive or all that stuff. He's a football player. Like, he's a flat-out football player. He's been doing it in the SEC for a long time. He's just extremely methodical and professional in his preparation. There's almost no projection with Jonah Williams. You look at him and say, all right, I can't see this kid being a bad pro. The other two guys, I think they could end up being really, really good, and maybe they could be all pro performers, but I could also see where they don't quite develop and they don't become the guy.
I absolutely believe the Texans would trade up to draft an offensive tackle on Thursday night. Yeah. Absolutely, because of this. There are three guys who everybody talks about as being the top offensive tackles out there, Taylor, Dillard, and Williams. They have to have a top guy, whether it's Dillard, as Peter King says, or Williams. And if that guy comes close enough to 23, then they have to be willing to pull the trigger and give up something to get that guy they can plug in at left tackle or right tackle.
This is the only thing that I get worried about, and it comes down to trading up in general. All right, this is a top-heavy team. Would you agree?
Yes.
Like, very. I mean, most people around the league say, wow, this is a top-heavy team. That's why it's so boom or bust. It's so hard to predict how they're going to be because they've got all these stars at the top, and then they've got all these holes in the middle of the roster. You've already traded up to get one of your marquee guys on this top-heavy team in Deshaun Watson. You traded away a draft pick just to get rid of a blemish,
Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler. So almost to get Deshaun Watson, you traded away picks both to get rid of Osweiler and to get Deshaun Watson. Now to fill another critical spot and to get another star player, are you going to trade away even more of your future to get these guys that might be top-heavy? It feels bad when I say it that way, but yes, I'm almost like the guy that's like, okay, this is the last time I use my credit card for a major purchase. This is the last time, I swear.
This is it.
I'm going to cut my credit card up after this, or at the very least do what they say, freeze it in a block of ice and put it in the freezer. That's what they say to do. So it's really, really hard to use it. I'm going to do that. I swear I'm going to pay off my bookie. I'll never use this credit card to make a major purchase again, but just trust me, this one time I'll use this credit card to purchase Andre Dillard. And then I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm done. I'll get compensatory picks. I'll do all this stuff. I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want. I won't trade anymore.
But the last purchase on the credit card is Andre Dillard.
This is it.
This is it. All right.
Never heard of this freezing the credit card thing.
Yeah, I haven't either.
It used to be a bigger deal when you had to physically have the credit card, where now it's like, I'll freeze the credit card, but it's already saved on autofill on my computer.
Yeah, on everything.
I'm going to freeze my laptop and put it in a block of ice in the freezer.
That'll work well.